Today it seems like the readings, all of them for that matter, have to do with two kinds of poor. The poor financially, which of course is not the most important thing, but it is in a way a concern of our Lord and a concern of the church throughout 20 centuries, going on 21, that we have concern for those who have less, who have nothing, who have enough, not enough to eat, not a place to stay, not anything to wear, and so forth. And of course, they're dealing with people who are the victims of a system or another person or something, not people who choose this for themselves. Now, there are some in the church who choose this for themselves to a certain degree. The religious who take vows of poverty. But those vows are different and have nothing to do with this, in a sense. But God blesses them as well. And of course, you know, a lot of times people think, well, what about priests in general? Priests, as in general, do not take a vow of poverty. A priest can be as wealthy as he wants and do whatever he wants to with his money. A regular priest, does not take a vow of poverty. Now, a Franciscan, a Dominican, an Augustinian, etc., they do. But each order has their own particular charism in regards to that vow of poverty. But what happens is that the order owns everything, not the individual priest or brother or sister when it concerns nuns or sisters. And so that is a different situation. And really doesn't have anything to do with this. But the Lord does bless the poor. And of course, many people complain about, you know, the first encyclical or document. I don't think he called it an encyclical. I printed it, but I haven't had time to read it. Just on the computer, which is obnoxious, of His Holiness Pope Leo XIV, Te Dilexi, I have loved thee, has to do with poverty. And of course, he's calling for justice. Nothing new. And of course, some people complain that he is like all the liberals that are always asking for justice for the poor and forget the rest of us. That is not at all what it is. The church has always had regard for the poor. We see it in the psalm. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. And of course, throughout the world, there are many, many people who are immersed in dire, horrendous poverty, not by choice. And then, of course, we have here the two men in the Gospel of St. Luke. And of course, I call your attention to the fact that in some translations, you know, which there has been a movement in the church for the last 60 years to not give any preference to the word man or the masculine. And so they, instead of man, they say people or whatever it is they have said. And of course, I changed it back. Because that's not right. That's not what it says in the original. It didn't say two people went up to the temple. It said two men. Why change it to satisfy some social movement of some kind or other? And then he says, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of humanity. He says, no, I'm not like the rest of mankind. So they try to take away all that, this feminism that has crept into the church's life surreptitiously for the last 50, 60 years. And hopefully, soon that will come to an end. But we have the Pharisee, full of himself. And there are many people who are full of themselves, who think that everybody owes them obeisance and worship, in a sense, that they need to be... Others need to bow down to them. Oh, you're so great. You're so holy. He goes to the temple and he thanks God for everything he is, everything he does. Not for one minute does he say, Forgive me, Lord, for all my sins. Forgive me, Lord, for not having done with thy gifts that which I ought to have done. Because many people who have a lot do not share it, do not do good with it. They just accumulate it, and that's it. And when they die, to whom will this hoarded up treasure go, as our Lord says? And of course, it could be their eternal salvation. If someone lives only for money and for possessions and for power and places of influence and not anything else, then it will be a bad end to him or her at the end of his or her life. Now, he does some good things. He fasts. That's good. It's good to fast. He tithes on all that he makes. And of course, that's a commandment of God from the Old Testament. It still is. And many people don't do it. And it's going to land people into deep, 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 deep trouble. Perhaps even as deep as the fires of hell. It is a commandment of God, not just of the church, but even if it was the church, our Lord gave power to Peter and his disciples to make laws for us. And we need to obey them. That's all. That's it. And so then he looks down on others. He does some good things, but he looks down on others. Now the tax collector, and in the New Testament, the worst possible thing could be was either a prostitute or a tax collector. Look at the whole New Testament. Read it, and you will see it again and again and again. It was a person who was considered to be very, very immoral. And yet, our Lord called one of his apostles, who was a tax collector, Levi, St. Matthew. So, no matter how bad you are, if you turn to the Lord, if you ask forgiveness, the Lord will receive you, will forgive you, and will bless you. So the whole gospel in itself is a lesson in that. But the tax collector, not like the Pharisee who was proud and showed himself off at the front of the church, or the temple, it was not a church, he was not even inside the Holy of Holies. He was in the courtyard of the Jews, as it was called, the Hebrews. The men had that courtyard, the women had the courtyard of the women, then there was a courtyard of the Gentiles outside. They didn't even go inside the temple. So the tax collector stood at a distance, perhaps in the third courtyard, where he was at the farthest point from the Holy of Holies. And he beats his breast and prays, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner." That prayer is worth more than anything else that can possibly be said. It is worth so much that our Lord says, he went home justified, forgiven, because he was truly sorry. He was truly humble. But not the other one, not the former. And he ends this pericope, "Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. But the one who humbles himself shall be exalted." A wonderful lesson for us to learn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.